Title: Tape Hiss Placement in the Mix in Ableton Live 12 Advanced. Alright, welcome back. This is an advanced mixing lesson for drum and bass in Ableton Live 12, and we're going to talk about tape hiss placement in the mix. And I want to set the tone immediately. Tape hiss is not noise for vibe. In drum and bass, hiss is a tool. It can glue together frantic edits, it can create depth without smearing transients, and it can psychoacoustically smooth the top end when your hats are bright and your bass processing is aggressive, but only if it's placed correctly, routed correctly, and controlled like a grown-up. By the end of this lesson, you'll have a drop-in hiss system you can use in any DNB project, a dedicated hiss track with a control chain, three different placement modes, sidechaining and gating so it breathes with the groove, and automation ideas that make it feel like part of the arrangement, not an accident. Let's do it. First, step 0, decide the roll. Before you even load a sample, pick one main strategy. If you're doing rolling, break-led jungle or a choppy roller where continuity is the whole point, you'll usually want hiss living with the drums. Drum bus hiss. If you want cinematic depth, like a dark intro, halftime moments, or that haunted room tone around your drums, you want hiss living in the reverb return. Reverb return hiss. And if you want a subtle printed record feel across the whole tune, especially intros and breakdowns, you want master bed hiss. Very subtle, like you feel it more than you hear it. You can combine these, but if you stack noise floors without thinking, you'll just steal headroom and wonder why your limiter is working harder. So start with one roll, then expand. Now step 1. Create the hiss source, clean and controllable. Option A is the best for realism. An audio sample. Create an auto track and name it hiss. Drop in a tape hiss or vinyl noise sample. Turn warp on. Complex or complex pro is fine, and loop it. Here's a key move. Adjust the start point so you don't hear the sample cycle. A lot of noise recordings have little ticks, tiny bumps, or a repeating fingerprint. If you hear repetition, it stops beating noise floor and becomes a rhythmic distraction. Offset the start, or use a longer sample. Option B is stock noise. A MIDI track with wavetable. Put oscillator 1 on a noise table, hold a sustained note, and you've got controllable hiss. It's cleaner and less realistic, but it's surgical. And once you like it, freeze and flatten so you're not burning brain power tweaking a noise oscillator forever. Cool. Step 2. Build your hiss control chain. This is where people either make hiss sound intentional, or they make it sound like their interface is broken. On the hiss track, we'll go EQ8, then utility, then gate, then compressor for sidechain breathing, and we'll add one extra coach safety device at the end in a moment. Let's start with EQ8. Your job here is not make it bright. Your job is make it not fight the mix. Put a high pass somewhere around 2-5 kHz to get it out of the body of the drums and the bass. In DNB, especially if you've got snappy snares and busy hats, you're often better off pushing that high pass higher than you think. Try 5-7 kHz if your hats are already airy. That turns the hiss into a thinner line instead of a blanket over your transients. Then listen for competition with the hat sheen, usually around 8-12 kHz. If the hiss is stacking exactly where your hats already dominate, it won't read as glue. It reads as hash. Put a gentle bell dip somewhere in that zone if needed. And if it's harsh or digital fizzy, add a low pass around 14-18 kHz, or even lower if you want a darker, older feel. Next, utility. This is gain and stereo discipline. Set the hiss quiet. Like, quiet enough that if you solo it, it feels almost underwhelming. A good starting point is peaking around -30 to -20 dB. Then you mix by ear in context, not in solo. For width, try anywhere from 60-120%, depending on your drum stereo image. If your bass is huge and mono, keeping hiss more on the sides can be a nice way to add size without putting trash in the center where the kick, snare, and sub need to live. Next, gate. Optional, but in DNB it's a weapon. The gate keeps hiss out of empty spaces, quiet intros, or stops it from being audible between phrases. Set threshold so it opens when there's actual energy. Attack fast, like 1-5 milliseconds, and release somewhere musical, like 80-200 milliseconds, so it doesn't sound like it's choking. And here's a pro feeling tweak. Use the gate's return control, around 6-12 dB. So it's not full silence when closed. That gives you partial gating. You get control without the on-off feeling. Now the compressor for sidechain pumping. This is the breathing hiss move. Enable sidechain and feed it from your drum bus or kick and snare group. Ratio 2-1 up to 4-1. Attack 5-20 milliseconds so it doesn't click. Release 60-150 milliseconds so it grooves at 174 BPM. Set threshold so you're getting maybe 2 to 6 dB of gain reduction on hits. What you're aiming for is not obvious pumping. You're aiming for integration. The hiss moves with the drum energy, so it feels like part of the record, not a layer taped on top. Now I want to add an extra safety step from a mixing coach perspective. Treat hiss like a noise floor with a ceiling. At the end of the hiss chain, add saturator with soft clip-on or a limiter, just catching a couple dB at most. Why? Because tiny modulation, automation, or unexpected peaks can make hiss jump in weird moments. This keeps the vibe consistent. And one more coach metric. Calibrate hiss against luffs, not just fader feel. In a density NB drop, hiss can feel inaudible but still steal headroom into your limiter. Mute and unmute hiss while watching master short-term luffs and true peak. If turning hiss on raises short-term luffs by more than about 0.2 to 0.4 dB in the drop, it's probably too present or too broadband. Okay, now we get into the main topic, placement. Three modes. Placement mode A, master bed hiss. This is your subtle glue. And I'm going to say something important. Don't put hiss directly on the master as an effect insert. Keep it as its own track. Route it to your mix bus group if you have one, or straight to the master. But keep it separate so you can automate and control it without messing the whole chain. Here's the arrangement move. Automate hiss per section. In intro and breakdown, you can let it be slightly louder, still subtle, but audible enough to create continuity and depth. Then in the drop, pull it down 2 to 6 dB so it doesn't compete with transient punch. If you want motion without turning it into an obvious effect, add auto filter after EQ with a tiny modulation. Very slow rate, like 0.05 to 0.15 Hz, small amount. The goal is alive, not LFO wobble. And a classic deed NB tension release trick. Bring hiss up for the last 2 to 4 bars before the drop, then duck it slightly right at impact. That tiny change makes the drop feel bigger, because your ear reads the change in noise floor as impact. Placement mode B. Drum bus hiss. This is break cohesion and record feel. Group your drums into a drum bus. Breaks, tops, kick, snare, whatever your structure is. Then route the hiss track into the drum bus. Either set audio to on the hiss track to the drum bus, or just place the hiss track inside the drum group. Why it works. The hiss becomes part of the drum picture. If you're doing micro edits, break chops, quick fills, the hiss fills the microscopic gaps and makes it feel continuous. It's like the tape never stopped rolling, even when you're slicing audio into tiny pieces. Now, advanced enhancement. Put drum bus on the drum bus, not on the hiss track. Keep drive low, like 1 to 5. Boom usually off or very low in DNB unless you really know what you're doing. And a tiny bit of crunch can print the hiss into the drum texture. Then, optionally, add glue compressor on the drum bus. Attack around 3 to 10 milliseconds, release auto or around 0.1 to 0.3 seconds, and keep gain reduction gentle, 1 to 3 dB max. But big warning, don't let hiss trigger your bus compression. If the hiss is too loud or too broadband, your compressor will work harder for no musical reason. Keep hiss high passed and controlled. Placement mode C, reverb return hiss. This is depth without clutter. Create a return track called AIR. Put hybrid reverb on it, then EQ 8 after it. EQ after reverb is crucial, because reverb loves to smear into the mid-range and make everything feel blurry. On hybrid reverb, try decay around 0.6 to 1.5 seconds. In DNB, shorter than you think usually works better. Pre-delay 10 to 25 milliseconds to keep the hit clarity. High cut around 6 to 10kHz to avoid fizzy wash. Then on the EQ after the reverb, high pass somewhere around 200 to 800hz to get rid of low mush. If it pokes, dip around 2 to 4kHz. Now send your hiss track into that return. Start with send level around minus 18 to minus 10 dB and adjust. And here is the pro move. Sidechain duck the return. Put a compressor on the return. Sidechain it from snare or drum bus, and duck it 2 to 6 dB on hits. This makes the air and reverb breathe around the drums, instead of sitting on top of them. At this point, you've got placement. Now let's do micro placement, mid/side and stereo tactics, because hiss placement is often a stereo decision more than a volume decision. First, a simple approach. Keep hiss wide and keep the center clean. Utility width is your fast dial. Then do the surgical approach, EQ 8 in M/S mode. In the mid-channel, high pass more aggressively, like 6 to 8kHz, so the center stays punchy for kick, snare, and bass presence. In the side channel, allow a bit more band, maybe high pass at 3 to 5kHz, so the sides carry the texture and room tone. And please do a mono check. In modern DNB, It's fine if Hiss is side-heavy and mostly disappears in mono. That's actually often desirable. What you don't want is mono collapse creating combing, whistling, or facey artifacts. If that happens, reduce width or remove narrow resonances in the side channel. Now arrangement automation, where pros actually win. Tape Hiss should tell the story of the tune, so keep it simple. Automate volume and maybe one filter cutoff or width parameter. Try this D&B automation set. Before the drop, over 4 to 8 bars, slowly increase Hiss by 1 to 2 dB. On the drop impact, do a quick dip, down 2 to 6 dB for about a bar, then return. During fills, briefly raise Hiss 1 to 2 dB, maybe widen slightly, or bump the reverb send if you're using an air return. It creates a perceived moment without adding more drums. And here's a nasty one that works way too often. Momentary absence of noise. Mute Hiss for the first eighth note or first quarter note of the drop, then bring it back. That tiny silence makes the transient feel bigger. Now, common mistakes to avoid. If you notice Hiss during the full drum and bass drop, it's probably too loud. In the drop, Hiss should be felt as continuity and air, not heard as PSSSSH. If Hiss fights your hi-hats or cymbals, fix it with EQ. Push the high pass higher. Notch harsh zones or low pass to darken it. Don't just turn it down and hope. If Hiss is triggering your bus compression or your master limiter, you're losing punch for nothing. Filter it, lower it, or put it in a placement mode that keeps it from slamming dynamics. If your Hiss sample repeats, offset the start point. Use a longer sample, or automate clip start slightly, so it never cycles the same way. And if you go extreme on width and your transients feel smeared, pull it back and a slash B in mono. Now I want to give you a couple advanced variations, because this is Ableton Live 12 and we're not here to do the basic thing. 1. A parallel print into tape chain. Create a return called Hiss Print. On it, put saturator with soft clip, then EQ A to band limit, then a light glue compressor, then utility for width. This audio version is shortened for playback.